Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Across the Park podcast, and it's that time of the week again. It's the opposition preview. Delighted to be joined this week by Joe from the Turfcast podcast, obviously a Burnley FC fan channel, to preview the trip to Burnley this weekend for the Blues. Joe, good to meet you first of all, mate.
No, thank you. Good to meet you as well, mate. Thanks for inviting me on. It's always a pleasure.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. So Joe, listen, we try and follow a similar pattern to these opposition previews, and a lot of the questioning and the topic will be around the opposition, obviously, in this case being Burnley. I'm just going to start off with saying, obviously, welcome back to the Premier League. And it was only a short stint in the Championship, yeah, which is always good news, because it's a tough division to get out of, as you're aware more than us. But welcome back to the Premier League, first of all, mate.
No, yeah, thanks. So hopefully it's not a similar amount of time that we're back in the Prem before we're going back. It's looking like we will be, but I'm sure we'll get onto it. But yeah, like, people always say it's tough, and don't get me wrong, like, if you do things wrong, it can be. Look at Stoke, look at Huddersfield. But the last three times we've been in that league, we've come out of it. The last two times we've won it, and last year was just fantastic. Winning it the way we did, winning it at Ewood Park, you know, it'll never be top that for me. My favourite season following the Clarets, even though we've achieved more since I've been alive, I loved last season. So if we do go down, so be it. I'll probably just have fun again and come back up, hopefully.
Fair enough. Now, you know what? I've had that type of conversation with a few good friends who are Burnley fans who I work with, and they spoke so highly of last season in terms of the manner. I think that's probably the word, isn't it? The manner of the promotion and the way in which you went about it. So let's kind of pick up on that topic. Obviously, Vincent Kompany's style of football, so contrasting to our current manager, who we will definitely talk about later on in the show. But talk to us about Vincent Kompany. I mean, you had a pretty difficult start from a fixture point of view. Is his stock still as high as it was coming off the back of that promotion, or is there maybe a little bit of doubt in the air?
Yeah, probably not. There probably is a little bit of doubt in the air from some fans. I think... And I hate using this word, but you've got to buy into sort of like the project. And I think when we appointed him, I did. I didn't expect us to get out of the Championship so easily, so soon as well. I expected us to maybe have a tough start last season, which we did to a certain extent, and then kick on in the second half of the season, but probably end up finishing about sixth, you know, and hopefully take the momentum into the playoff. Because I actually thought Watford and Norwich would both do a lot better than us. But obviously they're struggling even this season. So, you know, we did well. We did well last season. And obviously his stock went through the roof as a manager. He was being touted already as Pep's replacement, which even at the time I was saying, no, that's too soon. He probably will manage City one day if he can come through this with Burnley. But yeah, there's some doubt in the air from some fans. But I think we're going to stay playing the way we're playing. And I say stay playing the way we're playing because we have tweaked things a little bit. It's a little bit of ignorance that people still think we're playing 4-2-3-1 and going gung-ho. We're not. We've actually gone back to more of a 4-4-2 style and being a little bit more conservative, going long when we need to go long rather than just trying to play out from the back. But we did make a mistake against Wolves recently when we should have gone long when we didn't. So there is still some mistakes there, but his stock's probably not as high as it was last season, but I think the majority of Burnley fans are still more than happy with him, and even if we went down, we'll stick with him and stick with him in the Championship next season, just like we did with Dash back in, what were it, 2016, something like that, 2015.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that. We've had, I guess, managers like Vincent Kompany. I won't say they're exactly the same, but Marco Silva, Roberto Martinez certainly come into that category of obviously trying to play the game in their eyes in the right way and trying to be more cultured in their approach. And again, I think I can certainly say from my point of view, I've seen the best of that and I've also seen the worst of that. And I think in this very small pocket, I guess we're almost at the halfway point of the season, you've seen that. You've seen some heavy defeats, but also you've seen some very encouraging performances and obviously some excellent performances in the Championship last season. Just briefly touching on, you know, where we are at the moment to the club and with Sean Dyche, I mean, you know, the results speak for themselves. Just forgetting briefly for the about the points deduction for a moment, but we'll come on to that in a second. You know, he's produced a pretty good return, a very good return. In fact, we would be 10th in the league at the moment. And if I'm honest, I think as the season's gone on, the performances have got better and better. And just from your point of view, and I know what the answer of a lot of my colleagues have been when we spoke about this, what was your kind of lasting impression of Sean Dyche? And did you feel, again, if you kind of take yourself out of the Burnley perspective for a moment, did you feel that what you've seen from Sean Dyche and what you got was the best of him, or do you think maybe he's capable of better?
I think we got the best of him because of what we achieved. I think he can go on and achieve similar things to what he did with us as Everton, but obviously with Everton being a bigger club with more resources and a bigger fan base, he can achieve like a higher level, if that makes sense, but it would still be the best of Sean. Like getting Burnley to the Europa, I'm sure you lot would be buzzing if Sean got you to the Europa League. He did that 100%. With Burnley. He did that with Burnley. Some people might scoff at it and say, yeah, but you went out in the qualifiers. But let's remember, in the qualifiers, we played Aberdeen, we played Istanbul, Başakşehir, and then Olympiakos, the most decorated club in the history of Greece. Slovenian painters and decorators, you know, when they're in qualifying stages. It was a joke, man. But I think in the grand scheme of things, if we had gone through, we'd have probably got relegated that season. But I had the time of my life. Like, I only went to two European away games. I went to Aberdeen and I went to Olympiakos. And I had the time of my life, mate. I loved it. We might have been out in August, but, you know, I loved it. But, yeah, I do think if you stick by him, and my worry is that you as fans and as a club can be quite impatient. And I think we've seen that last season, like when Sean didn't really get going because he didn't really have the chance to really implement his style on the squad. And he still managed to keep you up. But then at the start of the season, when you had a slow start, you would think that most fan bases, he'd have enough credit in the bank. Whereas with you guys, there was still a lot of noise surrounding him. And I think he's only just coming out the other side of that now. But I've always felt that Everton was the perfect progression from Burnley for Sean. And when you appointed him, I was on a few other Everton podcasts and I said that, and I was getting a lot of stick in some of the comments that, like, this guy don't know Everton, he's not an Evertonian, like, we shouldn't really care what he says and stuff. But in the end, it's proved right, and Dyche will continue to get the best out of any hand he's given. And with Everton, if you stick by him for 3-4 years, like you said, you'd be 10th now if it weren't for the points deduction, and that's in his first proper season. Like, if you stick with him for 3-4 years, he could achieve Europa League with you guys like he did with yours. I think so anyway. But obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on at the top, which kind of shows how well Sean is still doing now. But if this noise at the top can calm down and Dyche can have a calm run at your squad, then yeah, I do think he can get you into the Europa League.
No, I agree, to be fair, and I say agree. That's encouraging to hear. Just briefly before we obviously come on to the game, and which is the focus of this podcast, what are your thoughts on and again, please be honest about this, what are your thoughts on the points deduction? And I guess secondly, the proposition of, you know, potential compensation and what that maybe then sets as the precedent for other cases to come up.
I think firstly, the points deduction is harsh. The fact that, you know, so many clubs have been in this position before and not had the points deduction, or if they have had a points deduction, it's not been 10. I do think that was a bit harsh. But in terms of, you know, the club themselves admitted that, you know, they'd done wrong and admitted that, you know, that they'd done wrong. So I don't think, I think all these shouts of, you know, these corrupt shouts and these conspiracy theory shouts, I do think they're a bit far. I just think the Premier, they're not corrupt. I just think they're idiots, the Premier League. I don't think they're corrupt. I don't think they hate Everton. I don't think they want to get rid of Everton. I just think they're idiots. And all they care about is the money. Everton don't bring them that much money, so they're not that bothered about you, I think. Whereas we'll see what they do with Man City. Like, Man City have 115 charges hanging over them. All right, they've not been found guilty. Everton were, as far as I know. I don't really keep up to date with the City thing, if I'm being honest.
No, that's right. No, they haven't actually been... They've got charges, but they haven't actually been tried on them charges. So, yeah, that's
so if they get tried and they get found guilty and there's similar stuff in there to what you guys had, the charges that you had and were found guilty of, and then if they don't come down in a similar vein with City, then you can look at that and be like, yeah, well, that's just ridiculous, and confirming that they're idiots, and it proves that it was too harsh for you guys. I do think your appeal will work, if I'm being honest with you. I think you might get 4 points knocked off, something like that.
I agree as well.
Yeah. Which again is just not that it screws us over, but like imagine saying to everybody, and this is how stupid the Premier League are, but imagine saying to everybody, right, Everton have lost 10 points now, everybody kick on for the season. Then it gets to like February, March, and say like Luton have just creeped out of the relegation zone and yourselves have just dropped back in it. Not that I think you will, but just using that as an example. And then they say, right, we're just going to give Everton 4 points back now. You'd be like, what the hell? You can't. What sort of shop are you running here? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But in terms of compensation, like, it's one of them things where I feel that if we have a case, I don't see why we wouldn't chase it. Same with Forest. Same
And if
we were in the, if the shoe was on the other foot, the Everton fans would want the Everton chairman to chase it. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I don't think anything will come of it, if I'm honest, but I respect Burnley for chasing it. I think Burnley are well within their rights to say, right, well, if we've been screwed out of 100 million quid because you have agreed that Everton were guilty of this, then we have a right to look into it. But I don't think anything will come of it, to be honest, because of that, you said, the precedent that will be set.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because you go back to the Man City example, maybe Chelsea, maybe Man United. How many teams are then going to be chasing compensation for not getting in the Champions League, for not winning the FA Cup, for not winning all the various honours that those clubs have been, have received over the last 10 years? And then the other side of it as well is, what's to say that if we wouldn't have been... Because the bigger issue I've got with it all, I agree with you, by the way. I think that we should have got a points deduction. I just think the 10 points was a bit much. Going back to when it should have been applied is the issue here. If it was applied 2 seasons ago, for example, when you guys may have pipped us, who's to say that if we wouldn't have got 6 points mid-season, that we wouldn't have then made up them 6 points like we have in the last few weeks? Just the mentality shifts, doesn't it? The 10 points deduction for us almost created, as the media were calling it, a siege mentality. And it has done. We won 3 of the last 4 games since then.
Yeah, it has. But as I said at the time, I feel like it proper played into Dyche's hands. Whereas, I mean, it's all he said, she said, but we'll never know. But if, for example, you'd have had 10 points deducted when Lampard was manager, I think he'd have just crawled into a hole and died. Like, he wouldn't have known what to do. Whereas Dyche is just right, no, sod you all. And it'd been the same. Yeah. Dyche was always like that at Burnley. Like, the media and fans would always slag us off, and Dyche would just be like, yeah, so what, we're playing our way, and we'll do it to you. Like, that time we beat Liverpool at Anfield, and he just didn't care that Klopp was constantly moaning about the style of play pre-game, in the match, post-match, and he just did it anyway. We won 1-0, and at one point, Dyche was walking down the tunnel, and Klopp ran after him, like, as if to like shout at him and argue with him. Dash just turned around, as he said, like, are you chasing me? And he backed down instantly. And just stuff like that. Like, Sean's always been great with stuff like that. And as soon as you had that 10 points deducted, I was like, well, they're not going to go down still, because us three, Luton and Sheffield United and us, are dreadful. And it's just going to play right into Dyche's hands. And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, just shifting the attention to you guys, obviously, because, as I say, this is the intention of the podcast. There has been, from what I can see, and you've just acknowledged, there's been a slight change, tweak of the system, slight adjustments, I guess, of the mentality when you're in possession, and maybe the use of the ball. And it has slightly turned the tide. You picked up some results recently. You're unfortunate in the end maybe to not get all three at Brighton, given that you were in front for large periods.
Yeah.
Is there still, and again, obviously, I'm sure you'll be tempering this, is there still a belief that you guys can get out of there?
Me personally, no. I just feel like the gap's too much. Like I referenced it earlier, but we had a slow start last season. The slow start last season was in the Championship against poorer sides, in when a season is 48 games in the Championship. 46. Whereas in the Premier League, it's 38. So there's not as many games for a start. So when you get behind, it's difficult to get back. And of course, you're playing better opposition. And a lot of Burnley fans hate it when I have this mentality, but I do think it's right. But there's certain games where you just write off. Like, you're not going to beat Man City. You're not going to beat Arsenal. I know Wolves have beaten City, and Bournemouth have done well against some of these sides and stuff. So people do get annoyed at me when I say that. But there's just like 12 games in a season where anything is a bonus. So it's less games for a start, and then there's 12 games that are written off. So I've not got the league table up in front of me, but I think it's something like 5 points or something. I'll just quickly get it up. But for me, I feel like the start is just going to... We will be better in the second half of the season. I am 100% confident of that. So we're currently on 8 points and you guys are on 17, but I don't look at you because you will move up. So then you've got to look at Forest, who are on 14. So that gap is currently, in my head, 6 points.
We are on 13 at the moment. Maybe we'll get four back, but we are on 13 at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean. You guys will, even without that, even without getting four back, I'm confident that you won't be anywhere near. Like, so people, like Burnley fans sometimes say, we're only 5 points off 17th and stuff. I'm like, it's a false table at the minute because you won't be anywhere near it. And even if you do and get four back, like you say.
No, it's a good point. And the goal difference is also a factor, isn't it? You know, we're on zero at the moment. That's an extra point, whichever way you look at it, isn't it? Because you can get level with us, but you'd still be behind on goal difference.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't look at you guys anyway, so I'm looking at your Forests who are on 14. Their goal difference ain't great, but, you know, it's still seven better than us. And then you've got Palace on 16. So, you know, I do think we'll have a better second half of the season, but I just think the gap might be too much. Like, we are going to have to go on a great run, and we're going to have to hope that somebody just falls like a stone. Like, I was looking at Fulham not long ago, then they're just
I was as well
5-0 now.
I don't know where that's come from. I thought Fulham were really going to get sucked into it.
Wolves as well. At the start of the season, I had Wolves like potentially going down. Like, I think Gary O'Neill was a great appointment, but he's proved me wrong on that. Bournemouth, they're suddenly in great form. Like, there's just so many teams that have suddenly picked up, and it's created a gap between the bottom three and the rest of us. And I personally just think that'll be too much. But I think we'll have a better second half of the season. Maybe give us a bit of a chance and go down with a bit more pride than what we're. Yeah, and what we were looking at, what we could have done. But then, like I said, next year, Luca Colaiorgio, Wilson Odebear, Lyle Foster, them sort of players in the Championship, I think we'll be more than all right next year.
Yeah, I look, not that you want to look towards us at that point, but as you were getting at there, you've obviously got young players that have had a year or two of experience at both the Championship and the Premier League, and players that are not on mega wages, I'd assume, you know, probably on modest salaries and certainly on the type of money that you can see being able to cope with the Championship for a year. I think for me, you probably need at the very least 20 points in the, you know, in the second half of the season, maybe to pick up a few more between the halfway stage. So a win or two before the halfway stage and at least another 20 points. It is possible. I think the one thing that probably works against you is that there's a chance of a bit of a manager merry-go-round, isn't it, before then, with like Forest and Palace probably looking to pull the trigger.
Yeah,
they might get a little bit of a bounce from that. Sheffield United have done it, but I think Sheffield United are dead and buried. Personally, I think they'll get a few wins under Wilder, but it's not going to be enough to get them, you know.
Yeah, I think with Wilder, they'll just lose 2-0 every week now instead of 5-0. I think that's just the difference with Wilder. He's okay, but it will give them a bit of a better back line, and they will be stronger, but they'll still go down. I think I originally said Luton had finished bottom, but now I'm pretty confident it'll be Sheffield United.
Yeah, I agree. So focusing on the actual game this Saturday then, you spoke briefly that you guys had shifted more to a 4-4-2. Talk to us about how you'd expect you to set up. Obviously, it's a home game, and look, I'm going to coin your phrase, the 12 games that are out of play in the league. This is certainly not a game that Vincent Kompany and your lads will be looking at thinking it's not one we can win. It's definitely on that list of this is a winnable game. You go in there to win on Saturday night, given the, you know, the challenge you've got to get those points. How do you think, you know, Vincent Kompany approaches the game on Saturday night?
I think we'll try and start fast, like we did against Sheffield United. I think that won us the match. Like, we scored after 15 seconds against Sheffield United, and it just set the tone. Like, their body language immediately dropped. But they're in such a negative position at the time that you can kind of expect that. I think if we start fast, I think we have to get in front against you. Typical Daesh. Like, if you go 1-0 up, it's just hankering in. Well, you won't even need to hanker in against us, but if you did, then it would be a case of hankering in and just keeping it tight. But so I think we need to get the first goal, so I think we need to start quickly, so hopefully we start quickly, hopefully we get a goal in front, and then it's just set pieces and stuff like that we need to worry about with you, because obviously, and crosses as well, as we saw at Goodison. I think we'll try and start fast, but we've got a couple of suspensions, like you have. I say a couple, we've got Charlie Taylor, who is a left back but has been playing quite well recently. But it's weird because we had Ian Markson last season on loan from Chelsea. Now he's not at that level, is Charlie. Ian used to sort of like come inside in the inverted fullback role. Charlie can't really do that. Like, he doesn't have the tactical now, so, or the ability to do that. So what we've started doing is asking Vitinho on the right-hand side to do that and him cut inside. Now, without Charlie, probably what we're going to have to do is put Vitinho at left back and play Connor Roberts at right back. So then we might go back to asking Vitinho on the left to do the inverted role like we did last season. But like the balance and the stuff that we've got better at doing these last few weeks is kind of out of the question now. Like we're going to have to try and refine that balance. So, but yeah, I do think we'll start quickly. I do think we'll try and expose the fact that Branthwaite's out. But you've got Tarkay. Like I saw a few Everton fans respond to my post earlier saying, Branthwaite and somebody else being out is massive for you guys. And I was like, yeah, but you've still got Tarkay at the back. Like that guy's a rocker. Yeah. You know, I love Tarkay. I was gutted when he left. But again, natural progression. I feel like Everton was kind of like the right move for him. I'm surprised he went to work under Dyche again. I mean, I know at the time he wasn't going to work under Dyche, but I'm surprised he's now happy at working under Dyche with some of the stories I heard from his last year at Burnley. But interesting. Same with McNeil. But I think, like I said, we'll try and start fast, try and hopefully get a goal in front, because I think if you get a goal in front, we could probably just all go warm. Because we'll struggle to break you down, because we've not been great going forward this season. We've not been great at the back, to be honest, but we have got better over the last few games. We need the first goal, I think, if we're going to get anything from the game.
The interesting one for us is not just the suspension of Branthwaite, it's the likelihood that'll be Michael Keane that comes in for him. And you talk about somebody who doesn't relish playing under pressure and certainly doesn't relish lots of movement in and around him. It's Michael Keane. And I know that obviously you guys, I still think to this day, got the best out of Michael Keane when he was younger. Yeah. And again, maybe the manager did. He's not reached anywhere near them heights with us. And the money you got for him was fantastic business. Yeah. Looking back.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, I think he originally played under Martinez for you guys. I don't know if I'm going back too far there. I can't remember. But Marco definitely Silver. Under him. Yeah, 100%. A manager like that, I can understand why he didn't do well in that sort of style. Same with Lampard. But now Dyche is the manager again for him. I would have thought he'd have gone from strength to strength in that sort of style, but obviously not.
He's shot. Yeah, his confidence is just completely shot.
Yeah,
his confidence is completely shot. And you probably never seen this, because he probably played in a team that, again, as you alluded to, he was comfortable. The manager was comfortable with what he brought to the table, and he was comfortable with what he was being asked to do. You know, he was probably enjoying it and so on. He's had so many periods and so many games where he's been inept, and the fans have kind of got onto him, as you're getting at the expectations sometimes are not where they should be.
Yeah.
And he really is so fragile, Michael Keane. He is capable of having the odd game. I think the only, I guess, caveat to us missing Branthwaite has been, well, if there was one game, we're going to miss him eventually. He's been on four bookings for, I think, five games now. So we're going to miss him eventually. And with respect, it's probably one of the games where we think, okay, Michael Keane going back to Burnley, maybe he'll be a bit more comfortable there. Maybe Dyche will be able to, you know, patch that up for a game. At least he should be okay. But it's definitely a concern for me.
No, yeah, fair enough. Hopefully we can expose that. But yeah, like I said, we haven't been great going forward this season. The saying that I've said on the podcast a lot is spineless at the back and toothless up front, because we've been okay in the middle. We've been okay in the middle, but we can't defend and we can't put the ball in the net. Like Lyle Foster being out has played a big part in that. Luca Colaiuolo is now out. That'll play an even bigger part in that. Although Wilson Odegaard has come in and done quite well. So, obviously we all understand why Lyle is out, but, you know, we kind of need him back, because Jay Rodriguez, again, he's from Burnley. Like a lot of people I know Jay personally, or knew Jay personally when he was younger. So I do feel harsh criticising him so much. But, you know, I think he's 33, 34 now, and it's 2023. And we're still starting Premier League games with him up front. And I think that is probably the part of the problem. Like, he missed a sitter against Brighton. He missed a sitter against Wolves. Scored against Sheffield United. But, you know, he's missing too many chances. And if Lyle Foster is on the end of any of them chances, they both 100% go in the back of the net looking at the chances. So, yeah, we do need Lyle back. But he won't be back for this game. We're looking like January now.
I was going to say, I mean, is that we're well aware, and credit to him, obviously, and the club, the way they've handled it. Is there any talk of when you might expect him back? Is he training, or has he just been literally given time off and time away?
Yeah, no official word. No official word from anybody. I am aware that he has been back at the club for a while. And I am aware that I'm not sure if he's training with the players or training on his own, or he's just back at the club and just sort of like, you know, getting used to being in and around the surroundings again. But yeah, he's definitely 100% back at the club.
No, sad, but again, all the best to him and fair play to him for, again, opening up. And I'm sure it's a big step forward for him. Just, you touched on, again, some of the players there. For you then, if you're going to win the game on Saturday night, which players need to turn up, where is it going to be won and lost? You've spoke about the fast start, but which players in particular are going to be key to that win?
Well, Jay Rodriguez, because we're going to need him to, you know, put the ball in the back of the net. We're going to need him to start scoring eventually, Jay. Yeah. Wilson Odebeir, like I said, we had Luca Colaiorgio, who, you know, same with Wilson Odebeir, both unknown in the summer. I'd never heard of him when we signed them. But both come in and both, like, they run at defenders. They're kind of like McNeil for you. Like, they'll get the ball and they'll run at defenders and they try and make things happen. And they're the only players in our team that are actually trying to do it. So the fact that Luca Colaiorgio got injured and we were all gutted, and then it turned out that Wilson Odebeir come in and he's just as good. We're like, oh, no, this kid's all right as well. So it kind of worked out all right. But if only we had the balance and had him on the other side. Because on the other side, we are a little bit light. Like, we have Johan Berg-Gudmundsson, who, again, in 2023, we shouldn't really be starting him on the wing. He's lost his pace. He's a good footballer. He's good, got good technical ability. And he would be good in that 10 role, but there's better players for that 10 role. Yeah, there's better players for that 10 role. So he gets moved out to the wing. So hopefully, eventually, we can see Mike Trezor, who was the Belgian Super League, whatever it's called, player of the year last year. He's come in and not hit the ground running. And he needs to really start, you know, showing what he's worth and showing what he can do. And he has done in his cameos, because he comes off the bench quite a lot. And he has been a little bit better recently, but we kind of need it from the start now. So we'll see what we do with that. Zeki Amdouna, he's class. Like, Zeki Amdouna is class. But again, I don't think we've seen the best of him. But he's a Swiss international. He's one of their better players. So, you know, he plays in the 10 just behind Jay. I'd maybe switch it a little bit and maybe put Gudmundsson in that 10 and put Zeki up top and, you know, maybe someone else on the right, like Brun Larsen or even try Trezor there. Just try and mix it up a bit. But then we have a similar problem with Zeki. He isn't the best finisher in the world. He's more of a creative player. So we would have a similar issue there with what we have with Jay at the minute. And then in the middle, you'll have Sander Berg and Josh Brownell, who, you know, Sander Berg had a tough start to life at Burnley. You know, he kept giving the ball away, made a few mistakes. Sheffield United fans were laughing their heads off. But then, you know, he started getting better and better. And he's the one, another one that will drive at players, but does it from a little bit deeper to what Odebeir does, whereas Josh Brownell, he just covers a lot of ground and tries to break the play up. So they're the players that are most likely to make things happen, but we're going to need the goalkeeper to put in another decent performance like he did against Brighton, because he's been a little bit hit and miss. And we're going to need the defence to hold strong, because I was at Goodison for the cup game and it was just so inevitable that you scored from a cross, and it just had to be Dwight McNeil and it had to be James Tarkowski. But we all knew it was going to happen. Like, that is our weak point. Like, we conceded 3 goals at Arsenal. 2 of them were corners that were just exactly the same, and one of them was a cross. And then we obviously conceded a cross against you guys. I think we conceded a cross against Brighton off the top of my head. I can't remember. They're our weak points, the crosses and the corners. And shock horror, your strong points do tend to be the crosses and the corners. So I am not personally expecting much from this game. I do think we will get beat, but I'm surprised to see some Burnley fans are feeling a little bit confident. But yeah, we'll see. I just don't think it'll happen because of the crossing and the corners. Like, our weak points are your strong points.
Yeah, I think for me, just from the outside looking in, it probably just speaks to a bit of a lack of maturity, experience, leadership in there. You know, that generally tends to
be
from dealing with. And you know, a lot of the players you're speaking about there, the commonality seems to be, I can see bits, but they're maybe not quite there yet. And that's what comes, isn't it, with a young team. And you know, at certain times, you get that unpredictability and maybe just lacking a small ingredient that they haven't quite developed. I think a big positive for you, and I've said it a few times, I think the two lads you've got in centre mid are good players. I think they're Premier League players, solid Premier League players. Sander Berger, I think at times I can see that frustration. I watched Sheffield United quite a bit last year because I was doing some work down there, and he is well capable of running a game at this level if he can just put it together a bit more often. He seems to drift in and out of the game a lot, but if he has a purple patch in a game, he's more than capable of, you know, of creating a chance out of nothing, you know, of scoring a goal out of nothing. He reminds me a lot of Gylfi Sigurdsson, to be honest. Gylfi had a good spell for us, but again, maybe wasn't rated as highly as by some of the Evertonians he was by me, but I really like him. And Josh Brownhill, I think he's a top player. I think you could see you really missed him at the start of the season. When I don't think he was, maybe, I'm not sure if he was not fully fit at the start of the season, but I think that's a big positive for you. And we're okay in the midfield, but we can be a little bit indifferent. And if you're saying you guys dominate the, you know, dominate more of the possession and control the game from midfield, that that could be where, not necessarily the game's won and lost, but where you, you get the upper hand.
But yeah, yeah, fingers crossed. Sorry, I was just going to say, Sander did have a tough start to life at Burnley, like I said, but the last five games, he's been class. Like, he's been he's been picking the ball up and running at defenders and just running it in the middle of the park and, you know, getting the ball out wide to the likes of Aubameyang, the likes of Coley Oshaw, whereas Brownell, they work really well together.
I was going to say they're good, yeah.
Yeah, they do, like, we struggled in midfield at the start because we have Josh Cullen as well, who was fantastic in the Championship last season. He actually won the Championship Player of the Year. But in the Premier League, I don't know what it is. He just hasn't been able to make the step up, and he just seems to get overrun in the middle a lot. So I think a lot of the reason why Sander was struggling earlier on in the season is because he was playing next to Josh, whereas Josh Cullen, that is, whereas Josh Brown and Sander worked really well together. I think the middle of the park is the only bit where I'm... Well, and the wings, but the middle of the park is the only real bit where I'm confident, where I'm like, yeah, they're really good and they can help us. And yeah, hopefully they can do it on Saturday.
Be a very interesting battle in there, because I expect us to play with James Garner and Onana from the start. And they're both very similar profile. Like, Onana's probably a similar profile to Xander Berg. Tends to use his physicality in terms of pushing past players and driving forward, whereas Garner's a bit more scrappy, like Brownhill is, but again, likes to get his foot on the ball and likes to play from deep. So be an interesting battle in there. And again, as we've said a few times, very contrasting style. So, Joe, I'm going to ask you for a prediction before you go. Don't be afraid to be honest about it.
No, like I said, I am not expecting much from this game. I would bite your hand off now for 1-1, but I kind of think we can get it if we play well and with some of your suspensions. But I'm going to go 2-1 Everton, if I'm honest with you. You were so much better than us at Goodison. Like, yes, we may have played a bit of a weaker side, but I think you did as well. But, you know, you were so much better than us, and you just exposed our weak points. And I think you'll expose our weak points again at the Turf. So I'm going to go 2-1 Everton.
I'm actually going to join you with that. I think it will be 1-1 for long periods. And I think maybe there'll be a temptation for the last 20 minutes to roll the dice, go and chase the 3 points. And I think we might be able to catch you from a set play or from a counter-attack. But I do expect it to be an entertaining game, despite the fact that I think the outsiders will probably think it's going to be a ball fest. I do think it'll be an exciting game, because I do think that you guys will fancy yourselves. I think Dyche will want to try and again go back and get 3 points there. So I am looking forward to it as a contest. But Joe, thanks so much for coming on, mate. Really, really interesting chat. Good to get a proper insight on Burnley, and generally best of luck for the season. It's great to see that you bounce back, and I do fully expect, regardless of how the season ends up, that you'll be fine, because I think you've built a very solid foundation. So
completely agree. Thank you for inviting me, but I completely agree. I think even if we go down, like I said earlier, it's probably more of a when than an if, but the young players and a lot of young squad, like say, not a lot of money, we'll be fine next season regardless.
Yeah, I can't say the same about the other two. I think Luton will even struggle in that. And I know they've had a bit of a resurgence. I think they'll struggle in the Championship going back down.
You know what? I agree, and it's weird, because I do this show with a Sheffield United, this Luton fan, and it was a Bournemouth fan, but we can probably get rid of him now, called Survival Rivals, like who's going to stay up? And I was saying, I believe that Burnley have the highest ceiling of the three promoted sides because we have the better players. And then this Luton fan were like, but we're above you. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. And you might finish above us at the end of the season, but Luton playing a certain style, which is just dogged determination, scrappy and fighting, because you don't have good players. You don't have quality players. The only player that I would take from Luton is Ross Barkley, because he's played, but I wouldn't have had him at the start of the season, funnily enough.
But he's
been playing so well. And I think if they went down, your Barkleys would leave for a start. You can't really fight your way out of the Championship. You can't do doggy determination to get your way out of the Championship. You're going to have to take the game to teams. So, yeah, I agree. Sheffield United, I think Sheffield United might bounce back as well, but they've got a lot of issues at boardroom level, so they need to sort them out if they are. But at the minute, I agree, it could be us going down with them, and then hopefully only us bouncing back, but I meant it, we bounce back. Like, I'm not bothered we bounce back, hopefully we do.
No, fair enough. Again, appreciate your time, Joe. Best of luck best of luck for the rest of the season. Definitely not best of luck on Saturday. Hopefully, it doesn't go your way. But,
cheers, mate.
Hopefully, you can join us for the return leg anyway at Goodison.
Yeah, definitely, mate.
Take care, mate. Have a good one.
Cheers.